Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
First Sermon, 2016. If you want to find the book of Matthew, that'll be my text in just a moment, but I want to start with a verse of scripture. It's found in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. It says, "A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps." On this first Sunday of the new year, I want to speak to you about the next decision, the next move, the next part of your journey. For the context of this message this morning, we'll frame our thoughts around the steps that we take. I'm amazed at how much of the Word of God, and since the Lord laid this upon my heart, I've been very sensitive to it, but as I've read His Word each day, of how many places in the Bible talk about the way we walk, the way we run, the decisions that we make, the next move that we make. I read an Old Testament portion and a New Testament portion, a psalm and a proverb each morning, and in all four of those this morning, there was something about our walk and our decision making. So I believe this is right on target in terms of what God is interested in our lives. He's concerned about our decisions and the things that are facing us. He doesn't want us to feel that we're alone in them. He wants us to know that He will never leave us and never forsake us. As I say, I'm glad about the Bible. I wrote down some things here that kind of enable us to see the choices that other men have made. And I'm just going to run through them real quickly, and maybe you can attach to it as well. There's contrast of results here. You have Adam's choice versus Lot's choice before Sodom. You have Moses' choice of his people rather than the riches of Egypt. Joseph's choice in the prison house of Potiphar. Daniel's choice of the king's vegetables rather than his meats. Paul's choice of a glorious price when he chose the Christians. Christ's choice when he set his face toward Jerusalem. You have Adam's choice that cost him Eden, Esau's choice that cost him his birthright, Achan's choice that cost him his life, Saul's choice that cost him his kingdom, Absalom's choice that cost him his father's throne, the rich young ruler's decision that cost him Christ's companionship, Demas' choice that cost him his discipleship, Ananias' choice that fooled no one but himself, Pilate, Agrippa, and Felix chose wrong and missed immortality. Choices. As I said, I want to frame this today in the context of the next step. Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, "The great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving." I wish I'd have said that. That was good. Read it one more time. The great thing in this world is not so much about where we stand as in what direction we are moving. Proverbs 14:15 that I read to you a moment ago says it in this way: "A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps." And that's exactly what I want us to do this morning. I want us to give some thought to our steps, especially as we face this new year together. I can be very certain in telling you this morning that there are going to be unexpected joys and there are going to be unexpected sorrows. That's life. Our only control is over the next step that we take. That's how we can control our destiny, if you will, of where we're going to end up, of what the results will be, is the choice that we make over the next step that we take. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about three areas. Two of them, I'm just going to touch on a little bit, and one of them, I'm going to spend most of my time. The three areas are simply this: the first step that we take, the next step that we take, and the last step that we take. And as I said, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the first, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the last, and I'll spend most of my time on the next step. I want us to pray one more time, could we? Father in heaven, I'm realizing more and more how important your word is to our life. And what you can do in encouraging us, in strengthening us, in helping us in our journey as we walk in the midst of your word. So I thank you today that this message has come out of your word and out of the experiences of our lives. Help us today. Help us to get beyond the boredom, the monotony of listening to someone talk, and help us to listen for the voice of your Holy Spirit for the next step that we take in our lives. Bless us here with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, I want to talk to you for a moment about the first step. The first step is quite important. You don't believe me, just think with me for a moment. Most, if not all of us, don't remember our first step. Does anybody remember your first step? You say, no, I was too little. I guarantee you that there was somebody that remembers that first step. For many of us in here, it would be our mothers. I checked this out to see if mom, at 86 years old, 86 and a half, if she still remembered my first step. Oh, yeah. I mean, there wasn't any hesitation. Yeah. And then she began to tell me of what the circumstance was when I took my first step. Aren't you glad? There's so much excitement that surrounds that first step. Pictures are taken. It's written down in the baby book. It's interesting because for most of us, if not all of us, the first step ended in a crash. But even that is kind of applauded, you know. I mean, especially if there were two put together, then it was like, oh, yes. And the most amazing part of this is, and moms, you know this to be true, you're so excited when that child takes that first step, and yet it signals that now they can reach a whole new level of things in the house. And they can start arranging things as the way that they like them, and they can pick them up and carry them on their journey, right? And so you'd think that mothers would be going, oh, no. But instead, it's like, wow, my child's taking the first step. You see, the thing that makes the first step so important is that it is a defining step. It means that this child is growing in a normal way. You know, some kids are more verbal, some kids are more actionable. The ones, quite often, that are more verbal are a little later in taking their first steps. They could care less about walking. They just want to talk to everybody. Come on. Is that you, Cindy? just asking. Just curious. Yes, I was 6 years old before I took my first step. First steps are defining moments because we realize in life that steps are a step in a new direction. A step in independence, a step ahead. It means more than just a baby taking one step. It means now they're going to begin to progress. They're going to begin to move forward in life. Every move that we make in our lives, both positive and negative, involve a first step. Think about it. The thing that makes that first step important is that it is a first step. If it was the only step that a child made, it would not have the great hurrah, but it's the fact that it's the first among many. Once you get started, unless something breaks down in the framework. Now, think about this for a moment. We don't think about our steps. We may think about our direction. We may think about where we're going. You know, if you're sitting in your chair and you think, oh, let's see, I'd like to go get me a snack in the refrigerator. You don't think, okay, now what I need to do here is I need to stand up and I need to take my left foot and put it forward, and then I need to put my right foot forward and then my left foot forward, and you do that all the way to the refrigerator. How many of you do that? You do? Okay. I think what we normally do is we just think, I'm going to the refrigerator. And so as quickly as our age will allow us, we make our way there. And we don't think about how many steps it is along the journey. We just get there and do it. Well, see, this is also what happens with our lives. That's the reason why Solomon said in this way, a simple man believes anything, lets it happen. But a prudent man gives thought to his steps. And of course, steps then are used metaphorically as the decisions that we make and the direction that we're going to go. We cannot afford to have the same mindless action in the steps that we take in our lives, the decisions that we make, and the things that we're moving toward. We can't have that same mindlessness that we have when we are taking these steps with our human bodies. Someone once said that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Everything we do in our lives involves a first step. You know, sometimes I wish that I could get a note for your refrigerator. We should pass out post-it notes on the important stuff. This one should go on your computer screen. This one should go on your refrigerator. This one should go on the dash of your car. That everything begins with a first step. That's what makes him important. But then there's the next step. No matter what direction we've chosen to take in the past, the next step will determine our destiny. You know, what is so cool about our human body is its ability to turn. You hear me? The ability. What if you could only go in straight lines in one direction? You know, what if the human body was made like that and every single one of us could only go straight and we needed to have somebody else take us and then kind of turn us? I remember when I was in the Navy in boot camp. We were a drill company, and I was a recruit petty officer, whatever. And so every single morning, we put up the flag and took down the flag for the whole base every single morning throughout boot camp. Well, it took 6 of us to do it, 5 of us to do it. Yeah. And there was 4 to actually do it and me to get them there. It seems like an easy task. And left face was pretty easy and right face was pretty easy, but we had one that was a 45-degree turn. And I can still remember the emotion as I'm marching these guys toward this 45-degree turn because nobody told me what to do with them. And they were going to march in a straight line until I told them what direction to go. And I have to admit to you that we stopped at the 45-degree turn to just see the scenery for a moment while I could get it straight in my mind how to turn these guys, because they were designed to go in straight lines. Some of you soldiers laugh. That's fine. But we all have to get there. But imagine. Imagine if we only went in one direction. But see, we don't. God made us and gave us the capability in our walking to really, without even pausing, to turn and head in the other direction. And see, that is also true in all of our lives. No matter what our circumstance, no matter what we're going through, no matter what situation that has occurred in our lives, we have the power of taking a step in the other direction. It's powerful. It's huge. Many people in this room could stand and testify that at some time in the not too distant past in their lives, they were heading in one direction. And then they met Jesus. And they turned and started going in a new direction. How many of you have found a new direction in your life from the direction of your flesh, from the direction of your past? Yeah. My text is in Matthew chapter 4. You say, is that all introduction? No, it wasn't. That was the introduction and the first point. So now we're at the second point. So don't get excited. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, and they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now picture this. Jesus is walking alone beside the Sea of Galilee when he saw first two brothers, Simon and Andrew, helping their father, cleaning the nets, doing what they did every single day of their lives. He did not say to them, here's a new set of rules for you to follow. He didn't say to them, from now on, you will be perfect. He did not share with them as to where they were going or what they were going to be doing. He simply said to them, fellas, follow me. Follow me. Come, follow me. And they did. He went on a little bit farther, and there's another boat there, and he invited John and his brother James to come and follow him. And it says, and immediately they followed him. So get the picture with me. They're heading in one direction. They're fishermen, and they're cleaning their nets, and they're preparing them for the next time that they would go out. And this was the focus. This was the purpose of that day and of what they were working on. Jesus came along and gave them an invitation to follow him. And it says they dropped this, and they changed their direction. Can you imagine? Just imagine with me for just a moment what that first step away from the boat was like. I know that at least one of the four had to, because they were human, they were not supermen. One of the four, at least, if not all four, were saying to themselves, but I got to get the nets clean. But I've got to do this. But this is my task for the day. If I don't do it now, I've got to do it later. It's amazing to me that there was no hesitation in them. You know, they're heading in this direction. Jesus said, come follow me. And they immediately left it all. Even Dad. Now, see, this was more significant in their day than it is in our day, because the boys always followed their dad in whatever profession the father was in. At 12 years old, the mother let go. That was their bar mitzvah. The mother let go of the reins of their life, and their life was put into the hands of the father, and they learned his trade. And he then raised them up in the way that they should go. So these fellas, from the time that they were 12 years old on, had followed their fathers in their profession. They were set on one direction. And now, with just an invitation from a man walking by the shore, come follow me. And they left it all to follow him. My friends, that's conversion. That's being born again. A change in direction is repentance. You hear me? It is not, oh yeah, Jesus, yeah, I'm going to follow you. I'm following you right now, but I've got this stuff that I need to do here. And as soon as I'm finished with this stuff, I'll tell you what, I'll be there Sunday. No? The next step was following Jesus. Immediately, they left their nets, they left their father, and they followed Jesus. I'm not sure that we can really associate this morning of how radical that truly was. You see, we get lost in the decision-making of the next step. When a step following Jesus takes care of it all. I said we get lost in the decision making of our lives when the step to follow Jesus answers it all. Now, these guys didn't get it totally right all the time. We see over and over in the Gospels where they would get discouraged, and where did they go? Come on, you can help me. Where did they go? They went back to the boat. Even when Jesus was crucified, after they saw that whole thing take place, even after he had told them over and over again what was going to happen, and when they saw him hang on that cross and it is finished and he gave it up, what did they do? One of the disciples said, I go a fishing. What was he saying? I'm turning back. I'm turning back to what I know. Because see, I was following him, but now he's dead. And so they were going back to fishing. Little did they realize that they would need to follow him now in the same way that you and I follow him, and that is by the voice of his Holy Spirit. Speaking to us, speaking into our lives. Now here, let me say something to you that I believe is very, very important. Within the realm of Christianity, we spend way too much time thinking about the past. We worry over the steps that we have taken. When the fact is, the real power is on the next step. Jesus came and died on the cross so that you and I could let go of all of our past steps. Now you think yourself about how much you grieve over something that you have done, or how much time that you spend over thinking about a wrong decision that you've made in the past. And sometimes, literally, we stop. We can't move. We're frozen because we cannot get past a bad decision that we made in the past. When, in fact, all that we need to do is follow Jesus, turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth, the things in the past, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You see, he's either the savior of our souls or he's not. He's either the one that takes all those bad steps that we've taken off of us, or he's not. I choose to believe that he is. I choose to believe that when he said, I will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that that means that all of the bad steps that I've taken in my past are now under the blood that he shed upon Calvary's cross. And today, I am now free to step in any direction that I choose to go. You see, some people, because of the steps that they took in the past, they try so desperately, they're going to make it all right. You can't make it all right. You can't undo the steps that you have taken. Oh yeah, there's some of them that we can. There's some of them we can retrace our steps. Some of them, you know, we can pay restitution. Some of them we can do certain things and we can undo in a sense. But you can never undo the fact that you made a wrong decision in the past. And if you choose to hang that stuff on you, you will walk around with more baggage than you're able to carry. That's not God's way for us. Paul talked to the Galatian church. He said it's for freedom's sake that he came. It's so that we could be set free. Don't encumber yourself with the baggage of your past when the Lord is concerned about the next step you take. Oh, what incredible freedom there is. Because see, he is not interested. How far away does he cast our sins? As far as the east is from the west. Now, we remember that part, but do you remember the last part of it? To be remembered no more. Now, there's freedom. There's liberty. See that, if my past is gone, then all that matters is the next step that I take. Whew! What direction? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? The next step. Well, I believe that this passage of Scripture that we shared here this morning gives us an incredible next step, and that is follow Jesus. So, but I want to have some fun first. You don't know fun until you follow Jesus. He said, but there's stuff in this world that I'm chasing after. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that this world has to offer you that will give you anything except regret and sorrow and struggle. You follow Jesus. You can choose to listen to your peers, to others your age or others that you hold in high regard, and you can choose to follow in their footsteps. And if they're not following Jesus every step of the way, then I guarantee you this morning, they'll lead you into a path of regret and great sorrow. See, it's the reality. You know, I was watching something the other day, and they were talking to a group of young people and asking them, who is your hero? And they were citing fictional characters. They were citing rock stars and entertainers, most of whom their lives are a wreck. And the kids are trying to follow after them, trying to step like they do, trying to dress like they dress, trying to act like they act. For what? For loss? Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will make you. Hear that? Come and follow me, and I will make you. Now for them, he used a term that they understood. They understood fishing. He said, I will make you fishers of men. Oh. But you see, he's no ordinary voice. He will speak that into every single one of our lives to say, come and follow me, and I will make you the most that you could possibly be. He's standing by the shore today calling out, come, follow me. Let the next step be with me. Let me take all the hurt, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the distress, all the difficulty that is in your past. And come and follow me. I feel compelled to tell you this story. I've told you, some of you have heard it before, but I apologize. But I feel compelled of the Spirit to share it again. Some years ago, as we were between churches and trying to follow and listen to the voice of the Lord, as I laid before the Lord and cried out, God, what do you want for me before I resigned the church that I was in? And the Lord spoke to my heart. I want you to make yourself available to travel and preach. And he told me where. Columbus, Ohio was where we needed to go and settle, and that he was going to have me travel and preach. Okay. So as quickly as we could, we made our way to Columbus, Ohio, and we start looking for a place to live. Couldn't find any within our price range. And so I'm back at prayer room praying, God, what's going on here? And the Lord said, come and follow me. He didn't change his mind. He didn't change the direction or anything about it. Well, then all of a sudden, a district superintendent from Mississippi called me and said, hey, we have a church down here in Starkville, Mississippi. It's the home of Mississippi State. We'd love for you to come down and try out for this church. I said, well, I'm not really interested in coming to Mississippi. He said, well, I really wish you would consider it. He said, your superintendent gave me your name and think you'd really be beneficial to that congregation. I said, well, thank you, but I'm not really interested. Well, then time goes on forward. Crunch time came. I get more phone calls from him. Finally, one day, you know, he said, we really would, why don't you just come down and preach? Come down and preach and see how you feel about it. Well, there weren't any other doors opening up. Still couldn't find a place in Columbus, Ohio. Okay. It was on a Labor Day weekend. So we shoot down there, us and our babies. And I preach. Actually, I taught Sunday school. I preached. And they said, we're voting on you. I said, well, that's fine, but we've got to head back toward Indiana. So we left. And they voted on us, and I got 100% of the vote. Now, everything about that would seem like, you know, I get a call the next day, which was on Labor Day, from the district superintendent. He said, that church has never had 100% vote. This has got to be God. I said, no. I don't feel in my heart that that's where we're supposed to be. He said, well, I'm going to call you back this evening. He said, you pray about it throughout the day. He said, I'm going to pray about it too. He said, if you would, just pray about it and I'll call you back this evening. Well, we had all of our stuff in a U-Haul truck, a dog and two kids. And we're sitting on the curb outside my mom and dad's townhouse. Okay, now what? So we sat there trying to figure out what the next step was going to be. And the phone rings. And it's this guy, this superintendent. Brother McKee, this is God. You just don't realize that this is the Lord. You just need to come. And so we look at one another. Okay, let's go. Now the Lord had told me, he had given me a good sense of direction. It just, all the pieces were not there that I thought should be there. But he gave me direction at the altar. And now the council of men was being weighed against the council of the Lord. So we jump in the truck and the car following behind, and we drove overnight down to Mississippi, and the parsonage was a wreck, and so I had to leave everything in the truck while I rebuilt their parsonage for them. And the office was a total chaos and a mess, and so then I jumped in there and got books straightened out and found out what money they had and all this jazz, and yet it's grinding away at me, this is not where you're supposed to be. So long story short, after 6 weeks of agonizing before the Lord, I had to stand up before that congregation and say, I'm not in God's will, and I have to leave. Well, they had paid for my truck to come down, but nobody was willing to pay for me to leave. And plus, I had to reimburse them for the trip down. Now, when we went to Columbus, Ohio, we spent two nights with her folks, Sharon's folks, and then a beautiful townhouse opened up for us. And I started getting calls from people to come and have me preach. And then a month and a half later, I get a telephone call from the district superintendent of Indiana, and he said, Bill, I would like for you to consider starting a church in West Lafayette. Charles Hackett, who's the pastor of First Assembly, is going to help you. I'd like for you to consider there. I said, well, you know that I've got a meeting in Illinois this Sunday, and I'll go early and go through there on Saturday. And when I drove through the town, the Lord showed me where we were to start, where the church would be located, and everything about it. You see, my statement to you is this. I want you to realize that all of us make bad steps. But the thing about stepping is that you can always stop and you can turn and go in a new direction. Listening to the Lord and following Him and taking your steps will always get you in the right place. But sometimes in our humanity, we have a way of listening to other voices and taking steps. I can't tell you this morning how painful it was for me to have to go to that congregation and say, I missed God. I'm not supposed to be here. I can't tell you how financially devastating that it was to go in the wrong direction in that. Just to say, it was devastating. But at the same time, when I got back on track of following Jesus, the explosion that took place was incredible. I didn't have time to worry over the bad steps that I had taken because the Lord was moving and doing spectacular things in my life and in the church that He was founding. The Lord knows the right way. You know what? Every single person in here should say, yeah, that's right. I said, the Lord knows the right way for your life and for my life. He's not sitting up there in heaven going, let's see if we can figure out John's situation here. No? He's got it all figured out. Larry, He knows exactly the path that He has for you. Folks, there's no hand-wringing in heaven. Oh my, what are we going to do with them? Look at the mess that they're in. Oh, no. He is fully ready to take charge, if you will, of the life that is yielded to Him. And He will take you into incredible places. Now, I promised you that I would mention the last step because it's really important too. You see, we don't really know when the last step will take place. It's kind of like the first step. We know it's coming, but we don't know when it's going to come. But one of these days, every single one of us will take our last step, our last decision, our last move on this earth will come. But you know, the next step that we take after we take our last step here on this earth, the last step that we take will be into His presence. So see, we can follow Him now and follow him with great assurity that the next step that I take, if it's the last one in this body, if it's the last one in this life, no sweat, because I've been following Jesus every step of the way. And so I'm going to follow him behind the curtain into that thing called death. Because he who has guided me and never let me down in my life is now going to take charge of me for all of eternity. And so this next step is an eternal step in his presence and in his power. And what he has for us, oh my goodness, will it be glorious. He just gives us just a glimpse of it. And my goodness, it's good. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, house prepared by the Lord. Oh my goodness. Hear me this morning. You will never, ever, ever go wrong in following Jesus. Never. Never. You and I in our own steps, doing it our own way. Oh my goodness, there's times that we've got to stop and go, this is wrong, this is not the right thing. And it's painful having to make that turn. It's painful having to go, I'm wrong. I messed up. But I want you to realize this morning, every single one of us in this room have that capability. As long as you're still drawing them in and letting them out, you still have that capability. No matter what you've been involved in, no matter what road that you've taken, no matter where the steps have taken you, no matter what kind of pain that you've been involved with, Jesus is calling and saying, come and follow me, and you can stop on the journey that you're on and turn and follow him. Now don't think for a moment that you can continue to go in your own direction and have all his benefit. You have to surrender the will of your life to his design, his desire, his plan. Now listen, oh my goodness, you can't believe what God has for you. You can't believe the plans that he has for your life. You may have a plan, it may even be working, but it's nothing compared to the plan that the Lord has for your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to be able to pillow your head at night without a single regret. And that's what he can do for you. I think about a song. I'm always thinking about a song. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. That's the cry. That's his plan. I believe, even as we're sitting here this morning, that he's by his Spirit calling out to some of you, saying, come. Follow me. He didn't run over and grab those guys by the arm, twist it behind their back and say, you're going to follow me. It's not the way he does it. He just, come, follow me, and I'll make you. I'll make you what you cannot make of yourself. And by the way, when you get ready to take that last step in this life, I'll be ready to help you take the next one into eternity. You see, many are looking at heaven and the reward and all of that as the next step that they have spiritually. You couldn't be further from the truth. That, my friends, is the last step. The next step is the one that you will take today. In just a very few moments, where will it be? We have the opportunity. And I'm done preaching, so you can start gathering your purse and your belongings and close your Bible. I'll close mine. There we go. I'd like for us to try something this year. One of the reasons why we're moving our time frame back 15 minutes is so that we will have a little bit of time to listen for the voice of Jesus at the end of our services. I'd like to encourage you through this year. It's all I can do is encourage you. I'm not going to try to twist your arm or beat on you or any such thing, but I am going to encourage you that as we move through this year, that you would find yourself a place of prayer. Maybe you're not comfortable coming up here to the altar. It's open. Maybe you want to turn at your seat. Maybe you want to find a secluded spot. But what about taking a little bit of time each and every Sunday to say, Lord Jesus, show me the next step. Show me the next step. You see, we're in a desperate, desperate world. We're in a desperate world. A world that needs Jesus. Our politicians need Jesus. If we have leaders that are trying to lead us and they're trying to do it on their own capabilities and their own abilities, we're in a mess. We need to pray, as the Bible says, we need to pray for our leaders because they are going to set the course for many of our lives. What an opportunity we have to come and follow Jesus and let Him make us. I believe He wants to make this 2016 an incredible year in all of our lives. Would you stand with me, please? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Could you just stop for just a moment and kind of listen for the voice of the Lord, for what He wants you to do? What's the next step look like? Maybe there are things in your past that you've never allowed to be put under the blood. You need to come and repent. You need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I've walked in the past. I want you to take my past and cleanse it with your blood so that the next step that I take will be in freedom from all of the past. He will do that for you this morning. Maybe your heart's cry today is that song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. No matter what your need may be, no matter the desire of your heart as we head into this new year, can I encourage you to take a couple of moments before we leave this sanctuary to answer the call, come and follow me, and I will make you. Thank you, Jesus.